Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
If y'all can see my pictures here, I just got drawn for me. For comfort, we need that. Very thankful for children as they allow us to be comforted. Before I get started, I'd like to thank everybody for your kind gestures, for your prayers and your thoughts, for the food that you have fixed for us, and just being there for us, giving us hugs when we needed them. Very thankful for that, for the loss of my pops. Today, I'd been thinking throughout the week, and Travis had asked me to do a lesson for him. He was supposed to have his eyes worked on. And then Jean got bad, and she got put in the hospital, and so boy, me and him was just in a tight spot. We've been running back and forth and sitting at the hospital here and there, and hadn't really either one of us been able to fix a lesson up. But while I was there, I was able to have my Bible and study and write some stuff down, and really was a blessing. I honestly didn't even really remember what I had written down for this lesson. So Coyne was asking for me to have a good ready recollection of it. So the thoughts that I had going through my mind was, you know, I've had people tell me in the past that, you know, if it's whatever was good enough for my folks was good enough for me. And I've thought about that a lot. And I thought, you know, I would think that if our folks and our loved ones of the past would have heard the message that we have today, they would come to find that it's acceptable to them. And we can't say what anybody's going to do or where anybody's going to go, because that is entirely up to God. Jesus Christ was allowed to have that. God said, I'm leaving everything to you, Jesus, and everyone's going to have to see him someday. We have to understand that, but we have to do what we feel like's right for us and our family. So if you would turn with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse, we're going to read verse 1 through 8. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. We need to do a better job of doing good in this country. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of his righteousness, but not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us so generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Sometimes that's hard for us to live our lives that way when bad things are going on in our lives at whatever point it is. But we are told that this is a trustworthy saying. And he says, I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. We see through Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, that hatred and malice has no place in a Christian's heart. Only kindness and love. Because of God's love, he shows us through mercy from the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior,
Jesus Christ.
In the book of Romans, if you want to turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul says to the church in Rome, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, and do not conform to the pattern of the world. He said, be transformed by renewing your mind so that you can test and approve what God's perfect will is. Paul wasn't only telling that to the church in Rome. He's telling that to you and I also. He says, I urge you, brothers, and you put sisters in there. I urge you, brothers and sisters, I tell you today, in view of God's mercy that he has set upon us, to offer your bodies, our bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship, to do this. Not to conform to the pattern of the world anymore, but to be transformed through his death, burial, and resurrection to be like Christ. James chapter 1, verse 27, James tells us to use our time helping widows and orphans. He says this is true religion, and he says it keeps you from being polluted by the world. Don't use your time doing stuff that's no good for yourself. Use your time to help others. And that's what he's telling us. No matter what's going on in your life, always be prepared to help someone else. Don't step back and say, oh, poor me. We need to be able to help others to get through these times, the comfort. And that's when I told y'all when we started this, how blessed we was as a family to have you as a family for us, for the comfort that you bestowed upon us. Very thankful, very honored for that. Please turn with me to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to read 15 through 17. We're told not to love the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, this doesn't mean that you can't enjoy stuff that you have, that you can't have a nice house, that you can't have a nice vehicle, that you can't have things that will help you to live a better life. This is saying don't put that type of stuff before God. Don't put something above God and say, I need this before I need God. You put God first in your life and all of the other stuff rolls into place and it's good for you. So, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You remember what we just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? There at the end, he says, be transformed in verse 2. Be transformed by renewing your mind so you can test and approve what God's perfect will is. Remember this, please. The man who does the will of God lives forever. If you get nothing more out of this sermon this morning, remember, the man who does the will of God lives forever. That means you have salvation. That means you have eternity with God. Yes, we all die an earthly death here on earth. But we don't have to die a second death. This earthly death is just, it's okay. And we accept it. But the second death is not acceptable. We have a choice to go to heaven. We need to work hard at having this. If I want to have victory in Jesus, I have to walk with Jesus. I have to live with Jesus. I have to let him be seen through my actions. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. We have to understand the Scripture. We have to listen to the Scripture, and we have to walk in the Scripture. Not just hear it, but we have to live it also, so that we don't get caught up in something that's outside of what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, you should fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we confess." We confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We should fix our thoughts on Jesus. We should live our lives for Jesus, not for our selfish needs, our selfish wants, our selfish ambitions, our selfish whatever it is. We should fix our thoughts on Jesus Christ and let Jesus work through us and let Him help us through these situations, whatever they are, whenever they are. Turn back a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 and 4. "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, it can never spoil, and it can never fade, kept in heaven for you and I." Isn't that awesome? Praise to God for this living hope that we have. This living hope is Jesus Christ, who came and died on this earth for our sins. One more time, listen. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's kept in heaven for you." Mark 15 and 15, Jesus died, He was buried, and He was resurrected, and He come back to His disciples, and He said, "Go out into the world and make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, so that they may be saved." Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that just so wonderful to know that God loved us that much, that He allowed His Son to take upon Himself our sin? 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn over one page. Verse 1. We are supposed to live for God. "So therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin." God doesn't like sin. God doesn't want sin around Him. And once you become God-like, once you become Christ-like, you no longer have sin in you. You have love in you. And that's what we distribute out, is our love. So we need to make sure, if we are in Christ, that we live for God. Psalms 23:1 tells us that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. God takes care of us. He takes care of us through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, He said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Isn't that a blessing? Isaiah 40 and verse 11, Isaiah prophesied this. "He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms, and He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young." You see, Jesus is loving, Jesus is gentle, He's patient, and He's kind. He takes care of His sheep. Have you ever thought of yourself as being a sheep? You are. Ones that are little, you're lambs. Jesus takes care of you. He wraps His loving arms around us and He blesses us throughout the heavenly realms so much, sometimes we can't even understand it. Turn back. Stay in John there, I'm sorry. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus also tells us, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, or up to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, if you would. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. We normally just read verse 13. Verse 13 says, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." You guys know who we're talking about there. That's Jesus Christ, right? We can do anything through Him who gives us strength. Verse 10, though, we're supposed to be thankful for their gifts, the gifts that we have been bestowed upon us. The Apostle Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it to me." Y'all had no opportunity to show me your concern until what happened to me the other day, had you? And I told you how blessed I was for that. "I'm not saying this because I am in need. The same for me. For I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances are." Whatever the circumstances come before us, I've learned to be content for that. And we need to learn to be content with what we have been dealt, what we have. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." You have to look to Jesus Christ for that strength. We can't do it on our own. You can't have that feeling without Jesus. You cannot make it through these situations by yourself. And it is a blessing, and it is an honor, and it is a privilege to be able to live Christ-like, to have Him to be absorbed into me, to be able to distribute this out. So I realize and I know that when I read Philippians 4:13, that no matter what circumstances come before me, I can get through it because of His love that He bestowed upon me, giving me strength to make it through any situation. Turn back with me to the Old Testament, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, please. Isaiah chapter 41, and we're going to read verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. He says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Our God will hold us up when we don't think we have anything left. When we feel like we've used every ounce of energy and strength, that He supplies us with more. He gives us that burst of energy that we need. That's a blessing to understand and a blessing to know that. Psalm 29 verse 11 tells us that the Lord gives us strength and He blesses His people with peace. Peace. Not hatred. Not malice. But peace. And peace feels good. It's such a blessing and a joy to have peace in your heart. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25 in verse 8 and 9. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all of the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This tells us of Jesus' great sacrifice that would later come to take away our sins, is what we just read. Wow! Isaiah was handed this before Jesus was ever born and was told this. I want to go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 1 and 5. Right before Jesus was to be put on the cross, he's in the garden and he's praying. Jesus praying for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. He said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He's asking God to help him to make sure that he glorifies God. For you granted him authority over all people that he might have eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You see, Jesus followed God's instructions. He lived a godly life while on earth. He completed every task God put before him. But when it came to the task of dying for our sins, you can hear how distressed he was while he was praying in the garden alone. For Jesus knew that he would have to take that upon himself alone without God's help. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, while on the cross, I'm going to tell you what it says in our English form because that's easier for us to understand. He cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right before he passed away, right before he died on the cross. That's what Jesus said. You see, God had left his presence at that point. And he allowed Christ to be consumed by our sins. And then to die. God hates sin. We talked about it earlier. And he cannot be associated with sin. So Jesus Christ took all sin upon himself alone. And dying with that sin only to be resurrected anew. So that when we decide to put Christ on through baptism, it is putting off our old self and becoming a new, just as Christ did. No longer carrying around that sin anymore. No longer living with sin, but separated from sin. That's a blessing. That is an honor for us that he was able to do that. And we say to ourselves, yeah, but that's Jesus. Jesus was God's Son and he was perfect. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. This is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. The Apostle Paul was told by Jesus, he said, Lord, what have I done to you, Lord Jesus? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. go do what I tell you to do. And Paul became baptized after he prayed for 3 days. Here's at the end of Paul's life, chapter 4, verse 7. A human like you and I, a man like you and I. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That means he did everything possible to be the godly man that God wanted him to be. Now, he says, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And he says, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We long for his appearing again, to be able to be with him, to be able to see God, to understand the true beauty of the heaven that Travis talked about today in the book of Revelation. What a blessing and what an honor that it has been to be able to be a Christian, to be able to have Jesus Christ in our lives. We allow ourselves to live with Christ so that we can have that victory in Jesus. As Jeff sang that song before we began, do you feel like you have that victory in Jesus? If you don't know Jesus in this way, and if you'd like to know him better, there's men, women that would study with you, that would sit down with you anytime you want to. And if you have a need, a want, if you need prayers, thoughts, anything at all, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.